All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is All Talks of Life with Chris Viniquez. I am your host, delighted to be back in your ears today. Since the last time I talked to you, a couple of things have gone down. The Yankees unfortunately bowed out for the playoffs. The Houston Astros are the world champs again. A lot of things going on in the NFL. The election week, election month continues. But I can't talk about election day because obviously now it is officially election month. Still got some races going on at the time that I'm talking to you. The Republicans got the House majority. They lost the Senate majority. They don't have the Senate majority. Runoff in Georgia. So a lot of stuff has happened since the last time I've been on. But in following with a continuation of sorts in last episode, I want to have one continuous topic going on today. Now, topic that I want to talk about today. Now, I'm not going to give a teaching or a sermon or anything like that today, but I am going to say this, though, before I get into the topics I'm going to get into. I do want to say, thou shall not steal. That's the main focus that I want to get into today. And again, like I said, this is not going to be a teaching about the commandment to Moses or anything like that. That's not what I'm going to lead into today. But I do want to point out that thou shall not steal. There's a couple of robberies that have been going on in the United States of America the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks. And I want to get into some of those robberies today on this show. On this episode, I want to talk about thou shall not steal. There's been a couple of things going on, something that I definitely got to get off my chest. And I want to start off with this, and then I'm going to get into the next segment. I'm going to talk a little bit about politics and talk about some of the results and my thoughts and things like that. Big things happening and moving and shaking in New York City that I definitely want to give my thoughts on. And obviously, you know, some things going on, you know, also nationally and whatnot, because I'm here locally in New York City. And also, everybody out there knows, y'all already should know, that since the last time we talked on Tuesday, November 15th, Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the third time to run for president of these United States of America. So possibly I'll give a little bit of thought to that as well in the next segment. But I want to start off with one of the robberies that I saw going on in America. And I want to get into baseball yet again. The way that I got into baseball last episode, I want to touch up on baseball briefly in this episode and just speak about some of the robbery that I've seen. Because obviously, you know, there are some awards. Obviously, the end of the year has come and gone. Congratulations to the Houston Astros, who won their second World Series in a couple of years and things like that. And that's great for Texas, and that's great for Houston and all that, you know, and that sucks for the Yankees because we got swept out of the playoffs. You know, we got to say what's real is real. Facts are facts. Facts only, you know, facts don't care about your feelings or my feelings. Yankee got swept out of the playoffs. They lost. They didn't do anything against the Astros. Absolutely nothing. But the baseball season concluded, and now we got the end of the season awards, you know. They're doing this now in the three major sports, basketball, baseball, football. They're giving out the awards at the end of the year and things like that. And they're having galas and award nights and things like that. And it's cool for them. They get to have a night out and, you know, share a big stage and whatnot. All right, fine. You know, I know some of us don't like it, but, you know, it is what it is. We want it to be announced, you know, at the start of the playoffs or during the playoffs and whatnot. All right, cool. But it's whatever. But here's my issue. Here's my thing, though. Here's the reason why I want to get into thou shall not steal. It is because even though I'm a New York guy, been in the city of New York 36 years all of my life. I am not a Philly fan. I am not a Philadelphia fan. I don't even really like their cheesesteaks. They ain't all that. Pat's, Geno's, overrated. I heard there's some other good spots over there, though, that give some good cheesesteaks. I haven't had them yet. But next time I'm in Philly, I'm going to try them out. So, saying all that, just to say, it was a robbery out in the city of brotherly love. And it was done by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Now, my guy, Aaron Boone, did not deserve the manager of the year in the AL. He's, you know, they are other candidates that are more deserving. Yankees started out good, and then they teetered off, and, you know, whatever, right? So I'm just going to say that for me, Aaron Boone, you know, should not have been in consideration or whatever. Whether he was or not, you know, it's not what I'm trying to get into. I'm just trying to say that I personally, you know, don't think that Aaron Boone should be in consideration for manager of the year in the AL. That should be Dusty Baker. But I'm getting off the point. My actual point that I want to bring up is, I just, you know, sidetrack, because I'm a Yankee lover. Everybody knows that. You hear the show, done multiple podcasts on the Yanks and whatever. Okay, stop drifting now, and let me get back to what it is. The city of brotherly love was robbed yet again. All right, the city of brotherly love and the Philadelphia Phillies, the Philly fanatic, the manager of that squad is called Rob Thomson. Rob Thomson came in this year after the Phillies went 22-29 and Joe Girardi was fired at the beginning of the season. Joe Girardi was fired after about 40-some-odd games. Joe Girardi was fired because the Phillies were 22-29. Rob Thomson comes in. Philly thinks that they're dead. The Philly fanatic thinks that they're dead. The fans think that the Phillies are dead. But guess what? The Philadelphia Phillies, after Rob Thomson was hired, went 65-46. Rob Thomson's team started out 8-0 as he was the manager. So Rob Thomson takes over, and all of a sudden, the Phillies find themselves 30-29 after his first 8 games. Well, check it out. Rob Thomson gets hired. The Phillies are under 500. Rob Thomson, after the first 8 games, the Phillies are over 500. I don't know, the people in Philly probably know this, but I don't know if everybody else knows this. Rob Thomson led the players, Philadelphia Philly players, to their first playoffs in 11 years. 11 years, 11 seasons. You know Philly. Philly don't like to lose. Philly is like New York. They don't like going down. They don't take losing kindly. But Rob Thomson comes in, does a better job than Joe Girardi, takes his team to the playoffs for the first time in 11 years, and Rob Thomson ends up getting fifth place in voting for NL Manager of the Year. That's what happens to Rob Thomson. I mean, I don't know if somebody could explain to me, how is it that a robbery of this magnitude takes place while the BWAA is around? How is it that a robbery of this magnitude takes place while there's social media and people can speak out, people can give facts? while we got the internet and all these things, you got your eyes. You go to the games as the writers. You got all these things in front of you. All these, you know, advanced analytics and all these other things that you like to measure things by. But yet, this manager ends up fifth in NL voting. He ended up behind the three finalists, who each won 100 games. I give him that. You can't take that away from them. You're talking about Buck Showalter, who won the award. A complete sham. Listen to the word I am using. Sham. That Buck Showalter won his fourth Manager of the Year award. It is a sham that he won this one. Now, I know he also won one with the Yankees back in 1994. The Yankees, you know, they weren't good. They only made the playoffs once in the 80s when they made the World Series and lost and things like that. I understand that. He brought the Yankees back from rubble, from rubbish, from the junk that they were in the mid to the late 80s and the very early 90s. Okay, fine. So you win the Manager of the Year award. You resurrect the Yankees. The Yankees go to the playoffs in 95. And then you bow out in the second round. All right, fine. Okay. He won that Manager of the Year award in New York. All right, cool. But this one right here doesn't make sense. Because Buck Showalter and his team crumbled, choked. A 10.5 game lead that they had on the Atlanta Braves. So the Braves and their manager come back from 10.5 games down, starting July 1st. Okay? And the Braves manager only gets third place in the voting in the NL Manager of the Year. Dave Roberts got second place. I understand that the Dodgers had the best record in the entire league, and that's cool. That's fine. They got one of the top three payrolls along with the Mets. They also got one of the top three payrolls. They're expected to be really good. They got really good players. They're projected to win a lot of games, and they won their share of games. They won over 100 games. The Braves, they made a couple of additions. They went from 87 wins to 100 wins. I get that. They win the NL East. And yet and still, we're talking about the team that flopped. The manager whose team flopped. The manager whose team choked it away. He won NL Manager of the Year. You tell me whether robbery. You tell me if this is not a reason to call 911. You tell me if this is not a reason to call this a complete and utter sham. That the manager of the New York Mets that blew 10.5 games in this city won NL Manager of the Year. And then the guy and the team who beats them out for the NL East, he gets third place. Somebody needs to call Sherlock Holmes or something like that. So somebody needs to call call down to your local precinct down in Philadelphia and tell them there's been a robbery. And the robbery began in New York City. Fourth place, the Cardinals manager came in fourth. The Cardinals won the division. The Cardinals won over 90 games. Cool, fine. Cardinals were a good team and all that. I understand the magic, the lure with Albert Pujols last season. All right, great. Everybody had a fun time watching A. Pooh do his thing. That's nice. And they won the division. Yadier Molina's last season. They won the division. They did their thing. It was a nice run. It was a nice ride, no doubt. Not saying that. But Rob Thomson placed behind the Cardinals manager, the Braves manager, who actually should have probably been second place, even over Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts' team has won a total of about 350 games over three seasons. They got one World Series to show for it. Even though playoff stuff doesn't have to do with a regular season award. But I'm just pointing out that this team has been good for a while. Large payroll for a while. Getting all the players they want for a while. All right? Managing the Dodgers is not rocket science. But managing a team that was 7 games under 500 and lost their manager and hadn't been to the playoffs in 11 years, that is more of a rocket science. And yes, I know that, you know, DeGrom was out for a while. I understand that. I get it. I get Scherzer was out for a little while. I get it. This team got good offense. They got bats. They got defense. They got enough pitching that, you know, got them that 10.5 game lead. They had enough of a squad to get them that 10.5 game lead. But yet, they had the same squad that failed them with that 10.5 game lead. Same manager, same players, and some of them came back, blew a 10.5 game lead. Rob Thompson comes out, the Phillies come out, and this is what happens. They trade for Noah Syndergaard. Noah Syndergaard is no longer the player he used to be. All right, he's not the guy. He's not Thor from the Mets anymore. He's not the same caliber of pitcher that he used to be. Please understand that. They went out, they made, you know, about 2-3 trades. We're talking about in-season now. I'm not talking about the free agents that they signed and none of that. No, we're talking about in-season after Rob Thompson was hired. Noah Syndergaard, they got a couple of trades. Nothing big, nothing splashy. Some nice moves that helped them out to get in position. But Philly started winning games and started being a credible team and a respectable team after Rob Thompson got in there. That is because he managed his team. He managed his squad to winning ways. After there was despair, after there was talks of, you know, we're not going anywhere, this team is no good, we got to switch it up, he came in there and said, nah, minor tweaks, couple of things, manage these players a little different, and we'll get a better result. See, sometimes you got great players, you got a great team, you got great individuals and all that, right? But you got to have the right person to manage those personalities. You got to have the right person to come in, manage those arms, manage those bats, manage those egos, manage those minds. You got to have the right person to come in and put all those things together. And that's what Rob Thompson did. But no. Rob Thompson gets fifth in the NL voting. Fifth place. There was a robbery in Philadelphia. Somebody in Philly right now hearing me, call the cops. There was a robbery in Philadelphia, and it started all the way in New York City. Continuing on in the theme of thou shalt not steal, I want to get in to the midterms, to the election day, election week, election month, if you will, that's been going on here in November of 2022. And I want to talk a little bit about my state before I get into the announcement, the special, the big announcement on November 15th by Donald J. Trump. In New York City, good news coming out of New York City this week, and I'm excited, I'm hyped, I'm happy, you know, in some terms, because there's been some turnaround in the city of New York with the thinking of the voters in the city of New York, in deep blue New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a red wave in New York City. In New York City, where in over 20 years, the governor's race had not come down to 5 points. It happened. Now, I know you're out there, you're saying, well, Kathy Hochul won and the Democrats still have the governorship and they still have the mayoral. I understand that. But you got to understand that New York City has been so blue that the first time that Rudy Giuliani ran for mayor of New York City was in 1989. And Rudolph Giuliani lost that race And there were, in the year of 1989, there were about 2,000 murders in the year in New York City. You know, and people got upset. You know, they were frustrated. Obviously, you got 2,000 murders in a city. That is unconscionable. That's just, you know, next level. And people went out and they voted, and they hadn't learned yet. The Democrats hadn't learned yet. The liberals hadn't learned yet. The people didn't get tired yet. And Dinkins comes in, and, you know, he's the mayor. There's, and, you know, murders go down a little bit. They dip to still an astronomical number, about 1,600 in 1990. And then, you know, they're still up over 1,500. And they're still up over 1,500, you know, close to 2,000. And then comes Giuliani runs again. And Giuliani wins the next time that he runs for mayor. And then he runs for mayor again at re-election, and he won by about 15 or 17 points, something like that, if memory serves me correct. So sooner or later, the inhabitants of New York City got tired of the recklessness, of the lawlessness, of the Democrats, of the blue side. And they went to a law and order guy like Rudolph Giuliani, the guy you see on documentaries and things like that. He's talking about how he brought down the five families of the mob, of the mafia, however you want to call it. You know, it's out there on Netflix. It's called Fear City, you know, New York versus the mafia. And it's a good documentary. It's cool. I like it. I recommend for you to go check it out. But that's what happened in the late 80s and the early 90s here in New York City. And then obviously, you know, the governor, George Pataki, was the governor in the 90s. And, you know, after that, the governorship and, you know, the mayoral, they've been in liberal hands. They've been in Democrat hands, you know, and obviously, you know, Bloomberg was in there for 12 years. And then, you know, you had I'm forgetting his name right now because I want to call him Big Bird, the tall guy. I'm forgetting his name because he was such a terrible, terrible mayor. I mean, he was just a horrible mayor. And I mean, you're talking about, you know, him and Cuomo, you know, teaming up to be the worst mayoral and governor tandem in the history of the city, bringing in some just crazy liberal policies and, you know, just some of the things that happened over the last 10, 12 years in New York City, the way, you know, the way that things went and, you know, the laws that were enacted and the policies that were enacted and the things that were, you know, just taking place and the things that were tolerated in the city over the last decade, over the last two decades, have just been, you know, next level unconscionable, just to a level where it's just disgusting, honestly, you know, to say the least. And, you know, I'm sitting here right now and I'm, you know, just saying that I think that the turnaround is coming again, because Lee Zeldin, the gubernatorial candidate for New York, was within 5 points of Governor Kathy Hochul. And we're talking about a liberal who's for abortion and, you know, has not done anything about cashless bail. And, you know, there's just been a lot of criminals released under her watch and things like that. And also on the Cuomo, you know, especially during the COVID era and stuff like that. So I'm sitting here and I'm just saying to myself, there is yet hope for the city of New York to think right and to turn some stuff around, you know, because it took all of that for finally for the gubernatorial candidate on the red side to get within 5 points. High taxes, high crime, people, you know, being homeless and losing their homes and things like that. Just some incredibly sad stuff. And now a lot of, you know, independents and certain people from the blue side, from the Democrats, you know, they voted for Lee Zeldin. And also not only that, but red voters got energized. They went out to the polls. They went out and voted. You know, they went out, voted down ballot, those who vote for Republicans. And thing is that those who vote for Democrats, in some ways, didn't vote down ballot the way that Republicans did, because, you know, in New York, in New York, the Republicans flipped 4 seats. And that's the most, those are the most flips, I think, in this election cycle, if my memory serves me correct. The most flips that happened, I believe, in this election cycle. 4 in one state. That's huge. That's big. That means that people got tired of their representation. But also, you have to understand that there was some redrawing, redistricting of New York City maps, congressional maps, because so many people moved from 2020 and 2021, 2022. So many people moved out of the city of New York because of the high crime, the high taxes, you know, the high cost of living. A lot of people moved out. So there had to be redrawn maps of congressional districts. And, you know, the Democrats drew up a map, and obviously, you know, they took it to the judge, and the judge, you know, they called it gerrymandering. You know, they just said, this is unconstitutional, it's illegal, you can't draw maps this way to heavily favor you. So a special master came in, redrew the maps, and the maps were drawn, you know, to have tighter races. So they were spread out more evenly over, you know, it just made the races tighter, like half Democrat, half Republican. You know, you're going to get some blue in your district, you're going to get some red in your district and things like that. We're going to make a little tighter, a little more competitive. We're not just going to have one side favored and it's going to be a complete overthrow and bashing and things like that. That's not what happened. The special master did his job, you know, and the special master came in, drew these maps and said, these are maps that are going to have tight races. And that's what happened. But in Long Island, the people of Long Island, stand up. Stand up, Strong Island, because the people in Long Island, they got tired of the crime in New York City and they wanted to change. You know, District 3 and District 4 were flipped there in Long Island. The Republicans swept all 4 districts in Long Island. So they kept 2. They picked up 2. You know, 2 were picked up in the city of New York. One of them was picked up by Mike Lawler in District 17. Mike Lawler went up against, you know, the DCCC chair in Sean Maloney, I believe is Maloney. And he was there for a while. And this is the first time in 42 years, that the DCCC chair has gotten, you know, not reelected in his district. So we're talking about when that person holds the chair and they've gone for re-election, they've won for 42 years, no matter what district it's been in, but they've won as the chair of the committee. And Sean Patrick Maloney lost that said title for the first time in 42 years here in the city of New York. While sitting in that chair, re-election has been won for 42 years. Like I said, no matter what district. But it stopped this year because the people of New York stood up. They went out, they voted. They said, we got to get some stuff lined up. We got to get some things right. They went out, they got some stuff right. So shout out to the people of New York. 4 seats flipped. People got tired. There were 26 races. 15 were won by Democrats. 11 were won by Republicans. Now, for you to sit here and say, hey, oh, man, they still lead by 4. Yeah, they no longer have a supermajority in New York. We're talking about the Democrats. So it's no longer the way that it was, you know, before this cycle. It's no longer the way that it was with a supermajority. It's no longer the way that it was with the Democrats are in double digits and the Republicans are in single digits in seats that they hold in the state of New York. That's no longer the case as of this election cycle. So that's good. When I'm talking about thou shalt not steal, we got to talk about the rest of the country. We got to talk about what happened out there in Arizona. We got to point to the things that happened in Nevada. We got to point to the things that happened in California. California is still counting votes. How is it that California is still counting votes? And here's one of the great ironies. that happened in this midterm cycle. The 218th seat that was declared to the Republicans, because the Republicans obviously now have the House, as you know, it happened in California, the most liberal, radical, extreme state in the United States of America, gave the Republicans the victory in the House. So obviously, you know that the House of Representatives, they're going to be able to conduct some investigations. They're going to be able to say no to a lot of Biden agenda, which is a good thing, because we definitely have to keep the Biden agenda out of our homes, out of our cities, out of our states, because the Biden agenda is straight anti-God, straight radical, straight liberal, straight leftist, and it's taking us to a place where you see how much gas is. Because he canceled the Keystone Pipeline. That drove up demand and drove up prices for gas. You see right now how the transgender agenda is getting through in the first 2 years of the Biden presidency. Now, thank goodness that a lot of people knocked down doors, and there were a lot of litigators and things like that, and Roe v. Wade was canceled. Rightfully so, under the Biden administration. But make no mistake about it, Joe Biden and the Democrats did not want Roe v. Wade to be overturned. They're trying to codify Roe v. Wade into law. They're trying to codify Roe v. Wade into the states. So what happened under Biden's watch, but it was because of the things that were done before this administration. So I'm saying today, thou shalt not steal. Why? Because there's always in every election a lot of thievery, a lot of cheating going on. I don't know if thievery is a word, but I just inserted it in there. But there's always a lot of cheating going on in every election on both sides. I'm not going to say that the Democrats are the only ones who cheat. No. Both sides do their underhanded things. And in the last couple of years, the Democrats have loved ballot harvesting. Now, ballot harvesting, for those of you who don't know, is when you're able to get a ballot from someone that has their name and signature and their vote on it, but they don't personally take it in. You take it for them. So I can go and to 10 of my friends and say, hey, I want you to vote. And I want you to vote this way. You know, you never voted before. All right, fine. I'll take your vote down for you. You know, I can say, hey, I think you should vote for this guy. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's doing that. But in a lot of cases, this is what's happening. Some people go from door to door. They go to certain, you know, clubs and certain places, establishments, and they say, hey, we'd like for you to vote. We'd like for your voice to be heard. You know, you don't even have to go down on election day and bring your ballot. We can bring it for you. I can take everybody's ballot here. Now, in some places, ballot harvesting is illegal. In some places in the United States, ballot harvesting is legal. It's legal in California. Pastor Rob McCoy and other pastors, they got out there in California. They told their people, hey, on Sundays, you know, during this election time, about, I think it was October, November-ish, every Sunday, you know, whenever you, as soon as the ballots come in, just fill out your ballot, bring it in and to the church, and we will bring it on election day. We're not telling you who to vote for. We're just telling you to make your voice heard. That's what we're doing. But there are some bad actors. And I saw with my own eyes on Twitter video of ballot harvesting in Arizona where it is illegal. There's a camera on a ballot box in Arizona where it is illegal. And there are cars coming minute by minute, hour by hour. Ballot harvesting. We're talking about one person coming in a car, and then somebody else comes in another car. A single solitary person in each car coming with ballots, and you see the stacks in their hands. So I'm sure people go out, they go to these establishments, and they say, hey, We love to hear your voice be counted on election day. Vote this way. I'll take your ballot, which I'm not supposed to do in Arizona. I'll take your ballot. I'll take everybody's ballot. I'll stack them up and I'll put them in the drop box and they'll get counted. But guess what? Kari Lake was up by a couple of points. Kari Lake, all of a sudden, who was up by, I think it was over, she was up over 5 points in Arizona. All of a sudden, after election day, she started losing. So again, I say, thou shalt not steal. But the one thing I will say is this. Where it is legal, as now people are saying, I'm not the first one to come up with this idea. But I'm hearing this on Twitter. I'm hearing this on Facebook. I'm hearing this on podcasts and things like that. And I agree with it. And there are conservatives coming out and they're saying, hey, where it's legal, we should ballot harvest as well. Now, we're not talking about ballot harvesting in Arizona because it's illegal. So I don't want anybody to think that on this podcast, I'm out here supporting what is illegal. No, no, no. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is, yes, I do agree. When you hear of pastors and other people and you hear conservatives and they say, hey, we're in California. It's legal. Let's ballot harvest. Yeah, let's ballot harvest. You get the right. You get the people who those ballots belong to. You take them on election day and you put them in the box and they got to count them. Because people were being driven away in Arizona. 3-hour lines. They said, the heck with this, we're going home. And the thing is, Democrats know that because Republicans don't trust the system, 72% of Republicans show up on election day because they don't trust the system. Me, I do early voting. I don't want to stand in those lines. Yeah, I'm going to go home or I'm going to go to work. I'm not going to stand on those lines. So I go and I vote early. But I understand that there's also problems with that. People say, hey, what about, you know, when the Democrats already know how many votes they need because they know how many Republican votes there are out there. I understand that. But I made my voice count. And I am hoping that there are people there watching these things that are not going to cheat. But I don't know that. And I don't know that if I go on election day either. So I go and I vote early. I don't want the lines. I don't want to be late to work and none of that. But I know that I voted. And I know I voted straight down the ticket Republican. And I know that in New York City and in New York State, there was a red wave. And I never thought I'd be able to say that. Hopefully next election cycle, when the mayoral is up and when the gubernatorial is up, hopefully it turns completely red. And we get some more common sense laws. Now, listen, I'm not saying that the Republicans are the answer to all of our questions, to all of our problems. I'm sorry. The Republicans are not the answer to every problem that we have. But there's more common sense on the red side, more common sense with conservatives, more biblical action and thought with the conservatives. Conservatives are not anti-God. And no, a lot of them are not Christian, but they're not anti-God, which is the thing. They're not anti-Bible or anti-Christ, okay? You see a lot of the policies enacted by the blue side, by the Democrats. They're anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ. Now, not everything that they do is that, but a lot of the big issues are. And America has been going down this slippery slope where it's less and less about God. You got to get back to more and more about God. Now, I understand that comes with the church first. I understand that's at home first. That's with the people first. I preach that here on this podcast. Y'all know that. Y'all have heard me say that. But the Bible also says that in the last days, people will have cold, with it, that the love will get cold because of lawlessness. Now, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. I don't remember the exact wording, but I do know that the Bible does speak about it in the New Testament. Jesus spoke about it and said that because of lawlessness, in the final days, the hearts of many will grow cold. That's what it says. So lawlessness is not something that we gotta, lawlessness is not something that we should be endorsing and voting for. Lawlessness is something that we should be getting rid of. And I'm saying I stand with the people who are out there saying, where it is legal, we have to learn how to dominate ballot harvesting. Where it is legal, we have to know how to master this science. Because it might have cost us the 2020 election. Go watch 2,000 Mules. It might have cost us some seats in some places in 2022. So now, you got to go and play the game. You got to understand how to do things the way that they're going to get you to win. You got to understand winning strategy. Legally, you got to understand winning strategy. Exact it, employ it, go execute it, and then you'll see victories. But thou shalt not steal. And I see all around the country, yeah, there are negative things happening, but there's also good things happening. So let's not lose hope and say everything is gone and everything, I heard that on election day and the week after and things like that. But you know what? There are some good things happening in the country. There are some good things happening with individuals and communities and families and things like that. But the problem is that the news that we listen to, they always lead off with the negative. But there's social media. There are other places we can look to. It's good happening. Don't worry. There's good happening. But let's get better happening everywhere. And let's eradicate the lawlessness that starts exactly from the top of this country. And the lawlessness that starts within our hearts. We gotta definitely get rid of that one. That's number one. Then number two, the lawlessness that comes at the top of this country. So President Donald Trump said that he's running for former President Donald Trump said that he is announcing his candidacy for the Republican primary for president of the United States. And I'm cool with that. I like Ron DeSantis. I think Ron DeSantis should be the guy in 2028. That's my personal opinion. I believe that Ron DeSantis does done some great things in Florida. And obviously, for the first time in a long time, there is not a statewide Democrat sitting in a statewide seat. There is not one single liberal, radical Democrat sitting in statewide office in the state of Florida. That is something awesome. That is something that I know that Florida definitely celebrated. You got to get more common sense laws and common sense thinking coming from up top. That's a good thing. So shout out to Florida. They did their thing. Massive red wave also in Florida. Florida went from a swing state back to a red state. That should definitely be good for Donald Trump in 2024. Florida, red state. Texas, a red state. The governor, won his re-election. There's some other seats that got flipped and, some seats that went to the Democrats. There's some areas and things like that. But Texas, red state, you got to get some of the states that have the biggest delegates, the most votes when it comes to their delegates. You got to get those. And I know Florida's been a big, huge sticking point since the year 2000. You got to get that. But it's red now. So Donald Trump should be able to win that easily. But let's see what happens with the rest of the country. I know that there's a lot of people on the conservative side, the Republican side. Some people that are saying, I'm not feeling him no more. you know, he's too bombastic. He's going over the top. He's attacking DeSantis and things like that. Hey, listen, primaries are ugly. You come against your opponent and you try to win. But at the end of the day, when the primary is over, you come back and you're one team and you say, hey, let's work for the greater good. But it's going to be ugly during the primary. He's going to say some stuff, as he said. But he was a little more classy in his special announcement. And that's good. I know that a lot of people are warmed up to that, and that's great. And I hope he continues on that pace, continues to be classy, continues to be controlled, continues to be a guy that, you know, brings down the pride and ups the humility. That's what I definitely want to see from former President Trump. And hopefully he becomes the second president of all time to win the presidency twice without consecutive terms. We're talking about Grover Cleveland is the other one that did that. Served two terms, but didn't do it consecutively. Hopefully Donald Trump is the second one. Ladies and gentlemen, this is All Talks of Life. I'm your host, Chris Beniquez. I'm glad to be back in your ears today, wherever you're listening from. I also want to remind everybody that All Talks of Life is now available on Amazon Music. Just this week, got uploaded to Amazon Music. It is also available on iHeartRadio. So for those of you who love iHeartRadio app, for those of you who love the Amazon Music app and things like that, now you can find the podcast on those platforms. We're now available on 11 platforms. So go out there wherever you like to consume your podcast. Tell your friends, hey, you got Amazon Music, check out my boy Chris Beniquez. You got iHeartRadio, check out my boy Chris Beniquez. Obviously, we're on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, you know, Google Podcasts. So let somebody know that your boy's out here hollering about these things. Been good talking to you again. Your boy Chris Beniquez is out. This is All Talks of Life.